The clerk will read the warning.
The inhabitants of the town of Kirby who are legal voters in the town are hereby notified and warned to meet at the townhouse in said Kirby on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026 at 10:30 a.m. to act upon the following. 1. To elect a moderator for the year ensuing. 2. To elect a town clerk. 3. To consider the town report and hear the report of the auditors. 4. To elect the following. Town treasurer, select board member 3 years. Auditor, 3 years, delinquent tax collector, agent to convey town real estate, trustee of cemetery funds, sexton, 2 planning commission members, 3-year term, all other necessary town officers to fill any vacancies. 5. Shall the voters of the town of Kirby authorize the select board to apply to 2026 current expenses, town and highway surplus monies from 2025? 6. To see if the voters will authorize the select board to apply to 2026 current expenses all monies received from 2024 and 2025 delinquent taxes, interest, and collector's fees. 7. To see what sum the town will vote to meet current expenses for the year ensuing, and shall the town vote to authorize the select board to set the rate necessary to raise said assessment based on the 2026 grand list. 8. To see what method the town will take to collect taxes, also setting date or dates when taxes are due, and rate of discount, if any. 9. Will the town levy an interest charge on all delinquent taxes on real and personal property of 1% per month or fraction thereof for the first 3 months, and thereafter 1.5% per month or fraction thereof from the due date of taxes as provided in 32 VSA Section 5136? 10. Will the town authorize its select board to hire money in anticipation of taxes to meet current expenses if necessary? 11. Shall the town vote the sum of $493 to support the operation of the Fairbanks Museum and Planetarium during the ensuing year in exchange for free, unlimited general admission to the museum for all Kirby residents? 12. Shall the town of Kirby vote to raise, appropriate, and expend the sum of $518 for the support of Northeast Kingdom Human Services Incorporated, a not-for-profit 501c3, to support community members who cannot otherwise afford care? 13. Shall the town of Kirby vote to appropriate the sum of $250 to Northeast Kingdom Youth Services to be used to support their work with youth and families in our community? 14. Shall the town of Kirby vote to raise, appropriate, and expend the sum of $181.34 for the support of Rural Community Transportation Incorporated to provide services to residents of the town of Kirby? 15. Shall the town of Kirby vote to appropriate the sum of $1,000 to the Village Improvement Society for the purpose of supporting the operation of the Powers Park Summer Program in 2026? 16. Shall the voters of Kirby vote to appropriate the sum of $200 to the Linden Youth Baseball Softball Organization? 17. Shall the town vote to appropriate the sum of $300 to assist the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging in providing services to older Vermonters in the ensuing year? 18. Shall the town of Kirby vote to appropriate $500 to Caledonia Home Health Care and Hospice to be used in providing health care services? 19. Shall the town of Kirby vote to raise, appropriate, and expend the sum of $350 for the support of Umbrella to provide services to the residents of the town? 20. Shall the town vote to appropriate a sum of $250 in support of the Northwoods Stewardship Center? 21. Shall the town vote the sum of $500 to continue the project to manage the spread of the invasive plant knotweed along roadsides and waterways in Kirby to be carried out by the Northwoods Stewardship Center? 22. Shall the town vote the sum of $1,300 in support of the Cobley Public Library? 23. Shall the town vote to appropriate the sum of $500 in support of Catamount Arts? 24. Shall the town vote the sum of $250 in support of the Community Restorative Justice Center? 25. Shall the town vote the sum of $50 in support of Green Up Vermont? 26. To transact any other business that may legally come before said meeting. I will now open the floor for nominations for moderator.
I nominate John.
Are there any other nominations? Everyone in favor of John McClory for moderator, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. John McClory has been elected moderator.
Thank you. There were days when I thought this day would never arrive, 50 years into the future, and this is my 60th year at this podium. And I'm very grateful to all of those of you and whose fathers and grandfathers and mothers elected me all these years to do the job I'm assigned to do. And having said that, I'll move on to some announcements. The polls are open from 10 until 7 in the back to elect the directors of the Northeast Kingdom Choice School District and approve the budget, right? And vote on the budget of the Northeast Kingdom Choice District. Secondly, our two Scott State representatives are here, Deb Doggan and Scott Campbell. Over there by the window, so they can make a quick escape.
It was Gippy, so.
Forgive me.
I also should recognize the people who were here in 1967 when I was first elected, and this won't take long. That'll be in Sue, Willie, Dennis Wood, and I guess that's it. We've worked our way through our entire list. Very well, thank you again. We'll proceed to, did I miss somebody? Oh, the pledge, I'm sorry. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you like to lead that?
Yes. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic with which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, to elect a town clerk, nominations are now in order for town clerk.
Nominate Aaron Patwan.
Second.
Aaron Patwan has been nominated and seconded.
Second.
Is there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations?
I move nominations be closed and we cast one unanimous ballot for Aaron.
Been moved and seconded. Is there a second?
Second.
It's removed that instruct the clerk to cast a unanimous ballot for Aaron Patwan. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So voted. Aye. Article 3, to consider the town report and hear the report of the auditors. Auditors?
That would be me, of one, and my report is basically everything is fine figure-wise. I would just like to take this opportunity to thank Aaron for compiling this report. This town has so many moving parts, and it's all beautifully put together here, and honors Ruth Houghton, who has passed, a longtime Kirby resident. Some of you may not have known, but that's a wonderful thing. And also, there has been a lot of additional paperwork, figures, accounts, because of the FEMA work and the work that's been done on the town, and Aaron has taken it all in stride, and those accounts are kept separately, so it's another whole level of bookkeeping, and I just want to commend her on the great job and for keeping track of it. We're a small town, but there's a lot of moving parts.
And thank Keith Wooster and Leslie Peters for keeping up with FEMA stuff as well.
Keith Wooster and Leslie Peters compiling all the figures for FEMA, and Leslie is also an auditor, so there's another cross-referencing with all the paperwork that goes on. So we're in good hands.
Any questions for the auditors? Move on to Article 4. Elect the following town officers. First is Town Treasurer, currently held by Aaron Petline. Nominations are in order.
I nominate Aaron.
Second.
Are there any more nominations? If not, I entertain a motion to instruct the clerk to cast a ballot for Aaron Petline as Town Treasurer.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
So elected. Third, Select Board Member for 3 years.
Nominate Michael Bickford.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's plenty of seconds. Are there any other nominations? If not, I'll entertain a motion to instruct the clerk to cast a ballot for Mike Bickford.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Michael's been elected. Okay. The next one is Select Board Member for a term of 3 years.
No, I just did an auditor. We just elected Mike.
Yes, the next one is Select Board Member.
Mike Bickford, Select Board.
Next one. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped one. Nominations are ordered for auditor.
I nominate Cheryl.
Cheryl McMahon has been nominated. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Any more nominations? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
So voted. Delinquent tax collector, currently performed by the town treasurer, Aaron Petline. Nominations are in order.
Nominate Aaron.
Second.
Any further nominations? If not, I'll entertain a motion to instruct the clerk to cast a ballot for Aaron Petline as delinquent tax collector.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So elected. Next one is agent to convey town and town real estate, currently held by
Select Board.
Clark?
The Select Board.
Select Board is doing it. All right. Okay. Convey town and real estate. Select Board are performing that function. Is there a motion?
Nominate the Select Board.
Been moved and
seconded.
All in favor of the Select Board continuing to serve as agent to convey town real estate?
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Next one, trustee of cemetery funds, currently held by
me.
Aaron.
The town clerk.
I nominate Aaron.
Is there another nomination for trustee of secondary funds? I'll entertain a motion to instruct the clerk to cast a ballot for Aaron, the town treasurer clerk, to be trustee of cemetery funds.
So moved.
Moved?
Seconded.
All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
So voted. Sexton, currently held by the Select Board. Is there a motion to continue the Select Board in that responsibility?
I know that we do.
Moved and seconded that we continue to have the Select Board serve as sexton cemeteries. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted.
Hey, John. Can I ask a question? How come our listers don't have staggered terms? They're all the same year.
That's because of an error at last year's town meeting. So that will be corrected in the coming years.
Okay,
but
it might be hard to find three in 1 year.
I know.
When they're all done. I just noticed. I wondered if it was a misprint or.
Nope.
Okay. The next vote is on planning commission members for 3-year terms. Currently, Martin Etter and Linda Gochi are the holding those two positions. And here's a problem we always have with multiple candidates. You can move to vote to ask the clerk to vote for elect both of those or one of those. And then we have to do an again for the second one. So I need a motion from somebody.
I nominate Marty Etter.
Okay, Martin Etter's been nominated.
That's second.
Seconded. Is there any? Are there any other nominations for this position? If not, I'll entertain a motion to instruct the clerk to cast one ballot for Martin Etter. So now we have one position open. The one that's held by Linda Gochi. Nominations in order for that office.
I nominate Linda Gochi.
Second.
Nominated and seconded. Are there any further nominations? If not, I'll entertain a motion to instruct the clerk to cast a ballot for Linda Gochi for a 3-year term on the Planning Commission.
So it's Amanda, right? Amanda Gochi?
No, she says Amanda.
All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. That takes care of all of the elected officials. We'll now proceed to Article 5, shall the voters authorize the select board to apply to 2026 current expenses, town and highway surplus monies from 2025. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Are there any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Article 6. See if the voters authorize the select board to apply to 26 current expenses all monies received from 24 and 25 delinquent taxes, interest, and collector's fees.
I make the motion, thank you.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. 7. To see what sum the town will vote to meet current expenses for the year ensuing, and shall the town vote to authorize the select board to set the rate necessary to raise said assessment based on the 26 grand list.
I make the motion that we set the budget at $643,260, which is $100,000 more than the proposed budget, and that the extra $100,000 be used toward flood damage expenses, which are estimated to reach over $300,000, and that the selectmen be authorized to set the tax rate. This would bring the tax rate up to 42 cents, which is still over 4 cents lower than last year's rate.
Second.
And moved and second to pass
$543,260.
The extra $100,000 would be used for flood damage. Okay. Any discussion? Could a selectman address the current status of repairs?
Say that again now.
Could you just kind of update everyone on repairs, current status of repairs?
Well, basically, the current status right now, I met with the engineer Monday. They'll have all his engineering done on the rest of the projects that need to be done. We plan to put it out to bid on April 6th, which is the next select board meeting. He was on the Brook Road, as I talked to him yesterday, figuring out the culvert down there at the end of the road. We would meet the town line at Linden. Other than that, that's where we're at.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
The person who put forth that motion mentioned that we need $300,000, yet they're asking for $100,000.
The town share would be $300,000.
Any more questions? If not, I'll put it to a vote. The motion is to $513,260 budget.
Second.
$643,260.
$643,000
plus the
$100,000?
No.
Some items are wrong. She's proposing that we do $100,000
more. Okay. Okay. Now I can see it. $643,260 has described in the motion. Is there any question about what you're voting on? Yes.
I think I still have the question that Chris had. So Wanda's suggesting $100,000 extra, but there's going to be $300,000 due. Help me understand that difference.
That's the town share. The $300,000 would be the town share after FEMA and the state take their share.
I'm still confused.
So is there already $200,000 in the budget? So we're $100,000 short.
No. That's it. If we put $100,000 in this year, then when the rest comes due, we won't have such a high tax rate.
So we'll pay it later.
Yeah,
right.
So
$200,000.
Okay.
Miles. Well, I'm curious. So a lot of FEMA money was rejected to the state of Vermont. Did that impact us in
Not yet. Well, didn't that occur before the recent flood, right? It's the more recent flood that was rejected.
Yeah.
Well, basically, FEMA comes in and estimates our projects. We get funded by them on their estimate. Then it goes out to bid. And we try to keep the bid, obviously, below what FEMA is going to pay.
So that we don't get it that much.
But that's the plan.
Yeah.
Step by step. Hopefully.
So what Wanda is asking us, we met and had our budget meeting, and we set our tax rate at 32 cents, municipal tax. We have no idea what the school is going to do. So Wanda is asking us to all chip in, and we'll throw in an extra 10 cents on our tax rate this year, which is still less than what it was in the previous couple of years. And that $100,000 extra that we can take into the taxes at this time will go toward our rainy day fund. So we will just have that so that it doesn't cost us $300,000 or $400,000 in 3 years all at one time, we'd have $100,000 to put toward it and try to keep our tax rate somewhere livable.
So. Just one quick question, Joe. Are you still working with the project manager? Is that still part of the
engineer? The engineer is our project manager.
The engineer is the project manager.
Only one guy, and this one is the engineer.
That has to go through that and before it gets to us?
Yeah.
And he isn't charging us any extra that we would be paying the other party above and beyond what the engineer said. I'll handle everything. Same fee. So we had a contract with him until December and then dropped the contract.
It's a good idea. We can keep our tax rate lower than it was last year on the municipal side and put some cash in the bank for a later date. And it's entirely up to you people.
Okay, any more questions?
Call the question.
Okay. If not, I'll call the question on Article 7, as proposed, which is the necessary rate to meet the grand list requirements. Budget, $643,260. Is that the right number we're using now?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor will say aye.
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 Opposed,
no. So voted. 8, to see what method the town will take to collect taxes, also setting date or dates when taxes are due. Rate of discount of any. Currently, we pay it to the tax collector. It's due November 2nd, and without any discount offered. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I need a second.
Good.
This is our current practice.
Yes.
Okay, any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Number 9, will the town levy an interest charge on all delinquent taxes on real and personal property of 1% a month or fraction thereof for the first 3 months, and thereafter 1.5% per month or fraction thereof from the due date of taxes, as provided in 32 VSA 5136. This is our current practice, right?
Make the motion make the motion we do.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
So voted. Number 10, will the town authorize select board to hire money in anticipation of taxes to meet current expenses if necessary?
I thought we do. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? This has been about for all those years that I've been here.
Yep.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? So voted. 11, shall the town vote the sum of $493 to support the operation of the Fairbanks Museum and Planetarium during the ensuing year in exchange for free unlimited general admission to the museum for Kirby residents? Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any question? All of these budget requests are in the back of your town report. And there are copies over here on the table. If you haven't picked one up already. If not, I'll all in favor will say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
So voted. Number, Article 12. Shall the town of Kirby vote to raise, appropriate, and expend the sum of $518 with the support of Northeast Kingdom Human Services, Inc., a not-for-profit 501c3, to support community members who cannot otherwise afford care.
So
is there a motion?
So
second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? So voted. Article 13. Shall the town of Kirby vote to appropriate $250 to Northeast Kingdom Youth Services to be used to support their work with youth and families in our community. Is there a motion?
So moved.
For a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will vote aye.
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 Opposed, no. So voted. Article 14, shall the town of Kirby vote to raise, appropriate, and expend the sum of $181.34 to the support of Rural Community Transportation, Inc., to provide services to residents of the town of Kirby?
Absolutely.
Is there a motion?
Okay.
Move that we do. Move that we do. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
So voted. 15, shall the town of Kirby vote to appropriate the sum of $1,000 to the Village Improvement Society for the purpose of supporting the operation of the Powers Park Summer Program in 2025.
Yeah, I corrected it in my book.
In 2026. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. 16. Shall the voters of Kirby vote to appropriate the sum of $200 to Linden Youth Baseball Softball Organization? Is there
yes,
a motion?
We do.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Article 17. Shall the town vote to appropriate the sum of $300 to assist the Northeast Kingdom Council on Aging in providing services to older Vermonters in the ensuing year? Is there a motion?
I move that we do. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
18. Shall the town of Kirby vote to appropriate $500 to Caledonia Home Health Care and Hospice to be used in providing health care services? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
So voted. Article 19, shall the town of Kirby vote to raise, appropriate, and expend the sum of $350 for the support of Umbrella to provide services to the residents of the town? Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Article 20, shall the town vote to appropriate a sum of $250 in support of the Northwood Stewardship Center?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any questions? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Article 21, shall the town vote the sum of $500 continue the project to manage the spread of the invasive plant knotweed along roadsides and waterways in Kirby, be carried out by the Northwood Stewardship Center?
So moved.
Second. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Is there an update to be shared about that project?
Yes, I can do that.
Please do.
This started out as a 5-year project. This next coming summer would be the 4th year. And it's been, we've had a ton of progress. In all the areas that were treated, the plants are either gone or just stunted little plants. And Sam Perrin of the Northwood Stewardship Center, who takes care of the management, said he thinks if we could treat it this year and next year, then after that we should just be able to handle it with hand pulling and kind of keeping track of it. And there'll always be issues with excavation and moving dirt because that moves roots. But if we keep an eye out on it, we should be okay. Last year, we Mel Finn managed to get a grant, so we didn't have to use the money appropriated. This year, we don't have a grant. We're going to keep looking for grants. But if the town can support it this year and next year, we should be in good shape.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So we are noticing more of it down in our end in South Jersey.
Okay.
So do I contact you and say, here's where it is? Because I did contact you about it.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, we're definitely starting to see it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Let me know where it is, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Dana. Any more questions on the knotweed eradication program? If not, all in favor will say aye.
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 Opposed, no. So voted. Article 22, shall town vote the sum of $1,300 in support of the Copley Public Library?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Article 24, shall the town vote the sum of $250.
We need
23. Sum of $500 in support of Catamount Arts.
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. 24. So the town vote the sum of $250 in support of Community Restorative Justice Center.
So moved. Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Article 25. Shall the town vote the sum of $50 in support of Green Up Vermont?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions? If not, all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So voted. Take a deep breath. It's like Black Friday. Transact any other business may legally come before said meeting. This is where people have a chance to speak on matters that are not cannot be voted on by the town, but are maybe of interest to people in the town. Let's see. Dana, would you like to tell us about NEK broadband?
I shouldn't have handed over to the alternate representative.
Thank you, Dana.
Actually, if you guys look in your annual report there, we're on page 97, we actually have some figures to share with everybody. You guys may remember, I think it was about 5 years ago, that Dan and I showed up here talking about a sort of probably harebrained idea at the time that we could get fast high-speed broadband internet to everybody in the Northeast Kingdom. And lo and behold, a number of bad things worked in our advantage. COVID hit, remote teaching, a number of things like that, and all of a sudden it pointed out the weakness of what existed for broadband. And we have been churning away, and people like Dana in South Kirby got service about 2 years ago. And I'm up in North Kirby, and they've been up and down my road hanging fiber and hanging strand, and we're just about ready to start connecting everybody in North Kirby. It's not a pipe dream anymore, and I have some notes here, which I should probably turn around and pick up. But in fall of last 2024, we joined forces with Central Valley Fiber, known as CV Fiber, and we are now NEC Broadband CV Fiber, and that gives us a lot of clout. It gives us a reach into 71 communities and towns, and it also gives us an economy of scale in getting grants and getting budgets and buying materials and yada yada. So while it may have seemed logical at one point to proceed town by town, we are in fact bigger than that, and there are some limitations in terms of access to poles, installation of the OLT cabinets that power our network, backbone connections between populated areas, terrain, highway, railroad crossings. They all play a part in how our fiber optic network can be deployed. But now we want to tell you that NEK broadband is, in fact, a reality. And North Kirby is underserved, but its completion is fully funded, and much of the infrastructure is already in place. Anybody that's driven up and down the Ridge Road has seen some sort of mysterious unmarked vehicles that are hanging strand and then hanging cable on that strand. You may have seen a couple of splicing trucks parked down on the lower part of the Ridge Road in Wayne Greer's driveway, hooking up the cable into the East Burke power centers there. So things are moving along, and one of the things that's a part of that is I'm going to talk briefly about something called BEAD, which is a government grant program that stands for Broadband Equity Access and Deployment. And because we are a very organized communications utilities district, we have set ourselves up to receive sort of a lion's share of that monies. And it will take a while, because with any new monies that come from the government, there are regulations and things like that. So for instance, in the town of Kirby, with new monies, we will have to complete the National Environmental Protection Act regulations and the National Historic Preservation Act process. So while we've done the backbone, the what we call the final mile of hanging the strand from the pole to the house will take a little bit longer. But everything that's happening in Kirby should be finished by 2026 or maybe 2027. This BEAD funding will extend the coverage in our utility district to 1,400 miles of roadway, and it will reach 7,441 unserved or underserved addresses. So we'll move along from that. We're on track to in the whole area to deploy 3,000 miles of fiber by 2029. Healthcare, remote education, work, civil benefits, blah, blah, blah. Good things about that. And the important thing we want to mention is that this is a grant money. And it's a grant money for broadband equity access and deployment. It is not just a generic grant. It can only be used for these purposes. It is not going into the town coffers or coming out of the town coffers. This is something that's happening separate from that and keeping us moving on our mission to provide internet access. There is a second grant program that expires at the end of September. And this one's important. You guys might want to pay attention to this one. I'm going to sound like a real huckster right now. Buy now.
Because if you sign up and indicate that you are interested in broadband service, and we get going by the end of September, the hookup fee for either, if you have a challenging hookup, such as an underground conduit is required from the pole to your house, or if you have what's called a long aerial drop, we will fund that. We have grants available to fund that, and it won't cost the consumer anything. So I have information here that I can give you afterwards, or you can sign up at nekcb.org conduit-media. So there's a link for that.
And just to add yes. there, that this is a first-come, first-served grant, and it's done by the end of September. And even if you don't know if you really want to have the service, you can still have the installation done. So whoever signs up first can get it done.
Does it have like a distance requirement or something?
Can you speak up, please?
I have one that was 400 feet, so you mean the, this grant?
Yeah. Like, it's like a, is there a limit per person?
I don't think so. We have that someplace, Dana's looking at it. So anyway, that's the Affordable Drop Grant Program. And to your question, we'll get to... the other thing I want to mention quickly is workforce. We are a consumer community communications utility district. And we have hired as much as we can within the local area. We have done free job training for anybody who wants a job in the fiber optics industry. We've run a number of, we have now more employed than 30 people, and we've done, we have run a bunch of classes to teach people how to work on the lines and how to splice fiber, which ain't twisting copper together. It's pretty tricky stuff. I've done it. They taught me how to do it so I can talk about it. But other people that have gone through those classes, eight of them are full-time employees of NEK Broadband. And they're the people you see working the poles and doing the splice, yada, yada. So the final thing on my sheet is when? I know that's sort of the biggest question for everybody. But Dana and I have some maps and address listings that we can use to help give a better idea of if and when broadband will be available at a specific address or area. We can also try and answer any of your other questions. We'll be here. Yes?
I live on Barnes Brook Road. One day I stopped and the guys were out there running lawns.
Yes.
The bottom of my hill. And I asked them if they're going to our house and they said no. You'd have to pay for that. That's a half a mile run and that's LED poles. And...
Okay. We've been talking about the B grant. At the end of Barnes Brook, you're talking about the far end?
Right up here.
Yeah. That gets into, I think that's a reconnect area.
So there's
falling off into another grant area in the town of Kirby.
So, but in other words, we're not going to serve everybody in this town.
No, I believe eventually we will.
Yes, we are.
Will I be alive when I see it?
are you going to make it till 2029?
I mean, they told us that we'd have to pay for it if we wanted it.
That is... That's
your
really kind of
telling us.
We tend to have a different opinion.
So wait, let's just clarify. This new B grant will give coverage to everybody in the Northeast Kingdom who has electricity and is on the road. So this is a new funding. So it will come. It's coming.
Yeah, the reason she says, you know, is as long as you have electricity, because we can't service camps.
No, I have electricity. LEDs there every month.
Wow. You caught him on a bad day, Rich.
They caught me on a bad day.
Any more questions?
Yes.
So if he applies now, he has a chance of getting it.
Yes. Yes. And the best way to get it is you sign up, and we have the information to sign up, because signing up gets you on the list, and it helps us prioritize which areas we can do the most benefit for in the least amount of time in terms of getting people hooked up. And I believe that sincerely because, as I mentioned, I've been at this 5 years and my house has yet to be hooked up. Although 2 months ago I got a really nice form letter from NEK Broadband saying it's coming to my house and be ready and they'll let me know when. So there is progress.
Any more questions?
Yeah. At what part of the process does a homeowner get specific information about what's
when we're about to deploy in your area?
Yeah, and what's going to be involved in the installation and how it would come into our house and
all that. When they're ready to deploy in your area, they will have someone contact you. They will come and do a house inspection and tell you where you can locate stuff coming into the house and where you might want a router and all that kind of stuff.
It's important, though, to register that you would like to service.
Yes, that's
and you can register without committing to it, just puts you on the list. It doesn't mean you have to.
They can do it in the last 2 years.
Oh, we did 2 years ago.
You're probably still on the list. I'll check it.
Oh, we know we have it.
Oh, okay.
We love it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. One last quick question. You said you have to have electricity. So if you're off the grid but have solar and so on and so forth, does that still keep you off of the grid?
No, I think we'd look at that as a, if it's a permanent
that's
residence.
A permanent residence.
Yeah, I think we'd look at that on a case-by-case basis.
Okay,
maybe.
I will look. Okay. Thank you.
And,
at the moment, if you're off-grid, it's not covered by V, as I understand it. We can double-check that.
We'll have to double-check
that. But
they're
looking at how over time, over eventually to be able to reach people off-grid as well.
Okay, thank you both for enlightening us on that project.
Thank you for signing up.
Director Sherbrugge, there you are. Would you like to talk to us about school tuitioning?
Thank you, John. I'll try to be brief. I know everyone is probably looking forward to lunch. My name's Victor Sherbrugge. I'm married into the esteemed Willie family 36 years ago now. We live on the Willie farm and have the privilege of knowing Bobby and Sue for all these years. Tracy and I both have recently returned to the Planning Commission. We were on the Planning Commission 25 years ago, roughly, and had the honor of serving the town then, and now we're both retired and are trying to give back a little more to the town since we have the time. The Planning Commission has been working on a revised town plan for quite some time. The last two meetings that Tracy and I have been at, we have struggled a bit with the education part of the plan and the rewrite and the language that should be placed in the town plan, which simply serves to sort of guide and encourage and direct town policies and regulations. And the Planning Commission asked me to speak in a general way regarding some of the concerns that exist in our community. Kirby has been extremely pro-education and pro-family for many decades, and I'm sure it will continue to be. But one of the concerns that exists and is growing is the impact of education costs on the town and on the tax rate. This is a problem that is very common in Vermont and is getting a lot of attention on a state level and in some ways on a national level. There's been a lot of press about some of the towns that have really been crushed by this phenomenon, like Putney, for example, comes to mind. They've recently been profoundly impacted by the post-COVID real estate boom, the rising tax rates, and reappraisals, all of which are happening here as well. And so one of the questions that we have as a Planning Commission is how is the education cost affecting tax rate? How is it going to impact everybody moving forward, and whether or not one of the driving issues is that of school choice. Now Kirby has no school, and so we are by default forced into a school choice kind of environment where all of our children are sent to neighboring towns. And so we are part of the school choice district, and this is all sort of somewhat new to me, so if I misspeak in any capacity, please feel free to correct me. There are 10 towns in the school choice district. They are fundamentally the river towns along the Connecticut River, with a few extras like Norton and East Haven and Kirby. Kirby is a little bit unique in the fact that it has in some ways become like a destination community for people seeking school choice. People all along the river towns and on the east side of Vermont, they're in school choice because they don't have a school, and nobody, for the most part, really moves to those remote towns because of school choice. That's not true here. People move here because of school choice. Yes.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I got a statistic for you. Guildhall, which when the choice district started, had a school that they closed. I think it was 5 or 6 years ago. We had some statistics the other night. Their school population was zero. Their school population right now, choice, is up over 42
schools.
And so there are some other areas. East Haven has also accelerated quite a bit in terms of number of students. So I just wanted to add that to your
Thank you.
Perspective.
My knowledge is limited. I'm sort of new to the game here. So one of the questions that we've been sort of bouncing around is there a way that the town can begin to try to control some of what is happening to us? There have been instances, and I'm by no means suggesting that this is common or is true of lots of families in Kirby, but there have been instances of people moving deliberately into Kirby. On day one, they hand the town an enormous education bill, and then when they have completed their child's educations, they immediately move out. There even have been instances of people not even fully being here, just sort of pretending to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that rampant? No. Is it going to get worse? We don't know. But this is a conversation that we're having, and we're trying to invite people to attend Planning Commission meetings and to express their concerns and opinions. We've talked about, is there a way of having language regarding when and how residency is established, when and how school choice becomes an option, when and how we limit the number of students that Kirby will send to one school or another. These are all things we don't know the answers to. We want the town's opinion regarding what they think is appropriate.
I think we, yeah. Is there... The state's work on redistricting, is that being taken into account with all, what would be available in our area as well, as you do this planning process going forward? If they talk about 5 gigantic districts in the state of Vermont, will that not throw everything up in the air and reshuffle it as well?
It could, based on my limited knowledge. I don't know the...
Miles?
What is your, you got a kind of a time frame you'd like to complete your plan by? I'm only thinking of that in terms of, you know, it's been 7 years since Act 46, 8 years since Act 46 happened and re-emerged. Now you have a crisis and you have varied opinions, 3 different plans out there, and a lot of drivers. Some sane, some insane. And I don't know if you're going to have an answer within a year. I mean, I think you'll have a clearer picture, but I don't see that you'll have a great answer to your question. So I guess
I suspect that's right.
Why I'm asking what the urgency is or what the hope is that you come up with some kind of a plan that's going to fit in with the bigger picture.
The town planning commission has been working on the rewrite of the town plan for a while. I think there's a little bit of fatigue by some of the members that have been doing it a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's required to be completed in a certain timeline. It's just periodically you're supposed to rewrite it.
We update it every 5 years.
Every 5 years, and we're a year behind.
Yep.
So we're working
So when do you guys meet? Because I'd be glad to show up. And
first Tuesday of the month. I think this is the exception today. We're not meeting tonight. It's next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, but we have a hearing that meeting. Yeah.
You could
come after the hearing.
You are meeting next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
I want to come and share what's going on so that you have better base to work
on. Can you include me as well?
Representative Logan.
Include me as well
when
Miles comes, the other board member. You just have to know. I'm just saying, let me know when it is. Merge on the agenda.
So, sorry. I don't know what language you're using, but I would strongly suggest using the word domicile, that you need to domicile in Kirby. I got to tell you, St. Jay has the same problem, Concord has the same problem, but if they can domicile in Kirby, so they pay their taxes here, they vote here, vehicles are registered here to this address, that would really tighten it up. The best you can. Just a suggestion.
Thank you.
Will the Planning Commission conversations about the impact of school choice on Kirby residents be focused only on sort of what I'm hearing is sort of the cost, or will it also sort of holistically look at like the benefits that school choice brings to Kirby, particularly in the form of just like families moving to Kirby? Admittedly, it sounds like there may be some who are, you know, getting, you know, fraud or something like that, but it sounds like there's also people who find the school choice piece of Kirby an attractive thing about Kirby. So I'm just curious if it's like starting open-ended, or is it only focused on sort of how can we curb it? Does that make sense?
Nectar, go ahead.
Can completely. Marty, well, would you like to speak
so
to that?
So it's not about do we do it or not. We're the planning board. We're not the school board.
Right.
But it's about development, and we have had a lot of people move in, and this is a five-year plan, and it's looking at sort of where does the community see things going. So we're not here to do the school board's job, but we're looking at, you know, there's a lot of other issues around, you know, cost to the town, development in certain parts of the town. So we look at that. We look at development. We're not like yes or no school choice. That's not our domain. But like we have to consider what's attracting people to town. How's that affecting, you know, the community? Like it's not about pro or anti. It's about how. What's the effect on the town? We're the planning board. How do we see the town changing in good or bad ways? And we try to gather information. Help the town put a plan together. It's not, we're not the school board, but they're very connected issues. So.
Yes?
I just want to say I'm glad you're starting this conversation, and that would be great that you're having the planning board meetings, but that there's a kind of centered spot to have the conversations.
Yes. So,
yeah, thank you. I'm glad you're thinking of it.
So, Marian Bright moved here probably over 16 years ago, just before the pandemic. She was living here full time. I've been back and forth between Boston for the past 5 years. Now, I just got my Vermont license, and I just prepared this house that I've been trying to sell for 2 years to be sold in Boston. But I got to be clear, like, I have a consulting business. I drive all over the New England area for that work. And one of the things that drives me to this town and wants me to stay here and keep my tax dollars here, and why my uncle retired near where my family now lives, is that we have school choice here. And it's been excellent. Our experience for our children has been great. And I want to pay taxes to support that, and I want to make sure that other people get that.
We're grateful for that. We're glad you're here. This debate is obviously enormously complicated in that it involves sort of this complicated mixture of sort of philosophy versus fiscal reality. You've got these things that are really important to people, education, family, creating a culture that grows a community and encourages a different way of life that's not just about money. but there's also fiscal reality in how does it impact taxes, and who is being asked to pay those costs. There are communities in Vermont where elderly, longtime residents are being driven from their historic homes by exploding education costs. You know, just in terms of crude math, if you have a child that has $15,000 to $20,000 in educational expenses or more, depending on the school, per year, and they go through 12 years of education, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And yet, the average tax bill, Aaron can probably speak to this a bit more specifically, but is, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And so it literally takes 100 years.
What town are you in? You better put a 1 in front of that number.
You're higher, I'm gathering.
There ain't too many $2,000 tax bills, are there?
So it takes an incredibly long time for simply tax revenue to pay for education costs for one child. And if you have many children, the math just explodes. Yes.
So you're absolutely correct. The property I'm selling in Boston has a tax rate of within $500 of 120 acres up here in Kirby. I understand that that's hard, but we've got to pay for education, and the expenses of the town, we've got to pay for the roads. You're right. Like, how do we balance that?
Right.
One way might be to encourage more development, right?
Well, Kirby's in a tough position in that it's a bedroom community. There's no industry to speak of, no commercial base to speak of. It's pretty much people just live here.
Okay, well, can we continue this at your next planning board meeting?
Of course, yes.
Which is
next Tuesday
here.
Normally the first Tuesday, but this month, next Tuesday.
May I just add something to that? My name is Hillary DiCarlo, and we do pay a lot for children to have their educations. And I would just ask for people to think about giving back to the town. We're always looking for people to volunteer on so many boards, and we rarely have enough people. So on the planning committee now, which I'm on, it's not all retired, but it's half retired. And I know that people are so, so busy. But I really urge you to get back to the town on this, because we're giving to you. It's our tax dollars that are giving to your children to pay for school, which is wonderful. I'm so supportive. But we also need help. And as a community, we've kind of lost our center. And I find that kind of sad. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Okay, thank you, Lori.
It's for your service.
John, just one point in this whole conversation, maybe Miles will address this, or maybe some of our representatives can address this, the cost per student. People know the state pays an average, correct? Still an average cost per student, and even if a school charges more, they pay the average cost per student. But the cost per student has gone up, and I'm understanding it's somewhere in the $25,000 per student a year range.
Some schools, yeah.
When I left the school board 10, 12 years ago, it was 12,000. So it's gone up considerably, and that is another huge driver in this whole scenario, is just the cost of educating children in general.
It costs $100-some an hour to get a snow machine fixed for labor. So, I mean, if you start looking at the costs of a lot of things, it's all pretty contrary.
Okay, Representative Campbell.
Well, it's one reason why I wanted to come here. I wanted to hear you all say about education. As far as the cost per student, you know, that's a calculation with two factors. There's the cost and then divided by the number of students. And you know, one of our problems, in not only in Kirby, but in Vermont, is we have a little number of kids. We have something like 25% fewer kids than we had pupils than we had 25 years ago. And the projection is that demographic decline is going to continue. So if you take the same amount of money, or an increasing amount of money, to pay for health care and deferred maintenance and all of the expenses that we have in schools, you take a slightly increasing amount of money and divide it by a fewer number of kids, then the cost per pupil goes up. And that is the metric that we use for determining whichever costs.
That's statewide, though. That's not that's not the trend in Kirby.
Right.
Kirby's numbers are going up.
Right.
While the states, understanding your explanation, but that doesn't fit this town.
Well,
so that trend is different than this
there's
town.
There's a statewide calculation, right?
But I just want you to speak to our towns. Like, we're not going through the exact same.
Funding is sort of a state.
No, I know, but averages statewide are not the same as like addressing this town's situation.
Right.
So I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, if you look at the bottom of page 60 on our town reports, there's the total number of students for the district is 303. And 144 of those are in Kirby.
Yeah.
So there's a disparity there, and that is higher than by a lot.
The statewide formula is it's a statewide funding mechanism, basically. All of the statewide education tax and that gets put into the pool and then divided up around the state according to this per people's funding. Anyway, it gets really complicated. Don't have time to talk about it all now. I will say that, as you probably know, the governor has sort of issued an ultimatum to the legislature that to follow through with basically mandatory district consolidation. I don't have any hard evidence, but my sense is that the legislature isn't really supportive of that. This is one of those topics that is not partisan. It's really regional. And certainly, as a representative of Kirby and St. Johnsbury and Parker, I can't support something that would threaten what you all have here. So anyway, we can talk a lot more about it, but be in for a while.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Me?
Yes.
Thank you, Scott. I respect what you're saying about the division problem, like the math being something to pay attention to, and what Marty's saying about Kirby being unique. I'm curious for your response to this, if you can, but my understanding, and I think it's important for voters to know, that the drivers of the top number, before you divide it, are healthcare, inflation, and federal cuts. And those aren't anything that reconsolidation is going to solve, or anything that we should be saying, the schools are spending too much money, right? Like, we're educating kids, we care about small schools, most of us. And so that big number is not something that we're going to be able to address by reconsolidation.
Is that totally accurate. And as you also may be aware, there was a task force convened part of Act 73 this past summer and fall that was supposed to come up with maps for consolidation. And they took a lot of testimony. There were some experts on the task force, and they decided that they could in good conscience come up with maps. Now, some people were criticized, including the government, criticized the task force for being political, for relitigating the questions that were before the legislature. Their report, which I read almost word for word, was really persuasive that just consolidating districts isn't going to address the issues. And actually what they recommended was starting with consolidating services as much as possible, regionalizing services, like back office services, like admin stuff, payroll, busing, special needs contracts, things like that. They can be regionalized. And in what they call cooperative education service areas. It's similar to a BOCES concept that you may know about in another state is actually also using pilot in Southern Vermont that was set up last year. Is a model for this sort of thing. The task force recommended that as a shorter cut way to control costs, something that can be done without disrupting districts. And they pointed out that consolidating districts is actually not only disruptive, but also expensive, because you have to put different systems together, different bookkeeping systems. And it's also disruptive. It diverts the attention of administrators and teachers away from what they really want to be doing, which is addressing education needs for the kids. So anyway, they had a lot more. I was just ready to take a good path forward, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Scott. Selectman or Chair Keith Eisen would like to comment.
Okay, I'd like to ask James McNerney to come forward, please. James is from the office of Senator Welch.
Yep, that's right.
John?
Thank you.
Sue has a question here.
John? I just would like to say that in 1976, Gretchen, Heidi, and I met with the Kirby town clerk, and we planned one heck of a party here at Kirby to celebrate 2,000 years. And this is 2005, 250, and I wondered if anybody in the town, or Hilly kind of, that we don't have a community here anymore. We want to plan a bang-up party. We had dancing and softball and Kirby filters, and the governor flew into a cornfield in a helicopter and talked to all of us. It was just an amazing day here in Kirby, where we were a community. I wondered, you know, if anybody was interested in doing something like that, we should plan it and be a community again. You are here.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to be sign up and talk about this, we could have a meeting.
All right, well, you all know who to talk to move that project along.
James? All right, well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm James McNerney. I do community outreach for Senator Welch out of his Burlington office. Happy town meeting day, first and foremost. We try to make it a habit to get to as many different town meetings all over the state as we can, just so we can hear what you all are talking about and what's top of mind, so that we're really plugged in and can be attentive and be a resource. I know FEMA is a big topic of frustration here, and we've been doing a lot of work on that. We certainly are committed to staying the course and you know, assisting and advocating for you all in any which way we can. But the senator asked me to be here today to recognize his friend, John, for 60 years of moderating these town meetings. And he wanted me to be sure and share not only his deep appreciation to you for so many decades of civic service, but also how much he really values many, many years of personal friendship. So to acknowledge you, the senator has entered into the congressional record a statement of tribute to John McLaury, which I'd like to just read briefly if I could here. Mr. President, I rise today to recognize John McLaury, who will serve as town moderator of Kirby, Vermont for the 60th time this town meeting day. John's journey toward this milestone began in 1963 when he first moved to Vermont. In 1965, John built a log cabin in Kirby, a small town with about 500 residents tucked away in Vermont's Northeast Kingdom. He quickly became an important member of the community. Though he lived just part of the year in Kirby and he spent the rest of the year in Washington, he was elected town moderator in 1966. As town moderator, John is responsible for facilitating Kirby's annual town meeting. He ensures that voters' voices are heard, and he shapes compromises that keep the town running. John moved permanently to Vermont in 1970 on the same plot of land where he built his log cabin and has lived there since. John was elected to represent Kirby in the Vermont House of Representatives from 1969 to 1973, where he advocated for his constituents and every Vermonter in the Northeast Kingdom. After working on President Reagan's 1980 presidential campaign, John joined the president's team at the White House Office of Policy Development. Despite his busy schedule in Washington, John always made it back to Kirby for town meeting day in March. In 1989, John would return to the Vermont General Assembly, this time in the state Senate, representing Caledonia County. John later established the Ethan Allen Institute, a think tank named for Vermont's own hero of the American Revolution. Here, John advocated for limited government and free markets. In 2023, he stepped down from the Ethan Allen Institute to allow for a new generation of leadership, but John has undoubtedly left a mark on Vermont. From the moment I met John in the 1970s, I admired him. John represents much of what makes Vermont's political culture unique, a devotion to localism, a belief in strong Vermont values, and a live and let live approach to governing. John's commitment to local governance and democracy runs through his life's work, from a life that has ranged from hitching rides on rail cars to serving in Vermont's State House and the White House. It is commendable that John has, for 60 years in a row, served as town moderator for Kirby, the beloved home of John and his wife, Ann. And it's signed Senator Peter Welch.
I don't know if I got 60 more years left. Are there any more announcements or questions as we bring it to an end? Miles?
Yeah. You know, if you want to get up and speak at some point, if you have anything you want to say. And then I got something to say about the school board meeting tomorrow, so go ahead.
Oh, I'm on the housing committee?
Yeah.
You want to talk about housing?
Yeah.
Well, we've passed two bills out of our committee, and one of them, remembering the numbers, H757, I believe, which has to do with mobile home cooperatives. So it's basically actually changing the name to manufactured homes, but we all know what mobile homes are. So the mobile home park can become more like a condo. So it's like you have ownership in these situations. And the bill we passed is for low to moderate income. So that's what we're hugging in that bill. It doesn't mean that other mobile home parks can become condos also. They can, and they are, and they do exist in Vermont. One thing I would say about if you're ever looking at a mobile home, because it's very fast as far as getting into housing, is that they're HUD certified now, and they definitely recommend, cost a little bit more, but they recommend getting one that's designed for Florida, because those will be beefier. We know the storms that Florida gets. So it's like spend the money, you know, a little bit more. But the other bill we passed out was H775. And that has to do with tools to get housing built. It doesn't matter if you're building on the east side of Vermont or the west side, it's going to cost the same. The building costs are the same. So what they've done is it's through 802 Homes. It's pre-designed. They've gone through the architect, the engineer, all that stuff is already done. These are pre-designs. And as a builder, you could say, you know, I want to take this design and you know, build it in this area. It's mainly for town centers to do this process. And the state is backing up funding for, so it's like the builder wouldn't have to put the funds out immediately. The state would back and say, they're going to do this, and we're backing the company to get involved in this. So if you Google 802 Homes, there's a huge website on all the programs that they offer, all the funding that's available. And then we just passed out, if anybody's interested in being a landlord in Vermont, we just passed out of our committee H772, which is revamping our tenant landlord laws, because we just want to bring more balance to that. And it's another way that we can get housing on the market. You know, people might have, you know, we hear about all the time, I have a place where I could, you know, have an apartment, but it might just be a little fearful of our the laws that we have right now. So we are bringing more balance to tenant landlord laws. And then we have other things that we'll be working on in the next.
Yes. Thank you, Deb.
Yes. Is it two homes still in only a few cities?
Oh, yes, yes.
So
there,
it's not all of Vermont yet.
It is all of Vermont.
It is now.
Yes. There were pilot programs within Fair Haven's a site, but yes, there were pilot programs around Vermont. I personally haven't visited those. I'll mention another one that they have, and it was, I went to, this is for people who are landlords. The state will put in 50% of the renovation cost, and the landlord will put in another 50%. And I visited two homes in St. Johnsbury. And they, you know, they'll do window replacement, insulation, and then just even upgrading the interior, maybe even building walls, redesigning. The ones that we visited, they don't tell you what materials that you have to put in, but it's, of course, you know, you're working with state money, but you don't really receive assistance. So whatever you put in, it's just another way to bring some housing onto the market.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Miles,
want to take a second. I want to make sure she had a chance to talk. Thank you for coming. I just want to let you all know, I've got to say, I miss the days when we had a school board meeting here in Curdy. We used to get this place packed. It was years where everything was smooth and not. Anyway, the annual meetings we have now are pretty sparse. Pizza orders always easy to fill. Those that come. But I do want to let you know that tomorrow we're having an open forum in Maidstone at 5 o'clock with the Deputy Secretary of Education, Jill Briggs Campbell, who's going to visit there for a while to discuss what's going on with it. It's a long drive from here to Maidstone for a lot of you folks, but I left some flyers here. We do have a pretty good online web that we'll have a meeting on. So if you're interested at all attending, I know a lot of people have a lot of feelings about it. We had some good support when we had a forum back in the fall. We had quite a few of you folks that showed up and participated in that. So I just want to make you all aware of that and help you realize what's going on. There are a couple of plans out there. Hopefully you've all had a chance to see that. But if you have any questions tomorrow, I can get a chance to get a hold of them.
Okay.
Get a hold of Cornelia or I at any point. I mean, we're on the website for Northeast Kingdom, so don't hesitate to call. I appreciate it. I've had two or three calls in whatever 10 plus years I've been doing this. So, entertaining. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
You held up well. Okay, is there a motion to adjourn? Any more questions or announcements? Yes?
Sorry to take you under a minute. I just wanted to respond to what Ms. Willey said and volunteer to be an organizer of a July 4th event in Kirby, assuming I can delegate a lot of things. And maybe I'll start by getting an email list from Wanda and sending out a Google form so people can share what they want to include and kind of everyone.
Thank you, Amelia.
You're welcome. Okay.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. You're adjourned.